You're listening to The Joe Cortez Show, Fair But Firm, with co-host John Zimmer.
Joe Cortez here with The Fair But Firm Show with my co-host John Zimmer here from Las Vegas, Nevada, the boxing capital of the world. And I tell you that with pride, brother. Boxing capital of the world, we had some great fights. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we had some cancellations most recently. We'll go into that in a few minutes. But we've been talking about it, but tomorrow, John, we're going to have a big meeting here in Nevada. Yeah. With the Nevada State Athletic Commission, with reference to Saul Canelo Alvarez testing positive for clenbuterol, which is a illegal substance or a drug in his blood, that came out positive back at February 17th, and again the 20th for the second test, and this is something that put a black eye to boxing, because even though it was low numbers with the testing, it still come out positive. So
yeah, and it creates doubt within the industry. Yeah. I mean, and stuff like that is never good for boxing. But as we've said before on the show, a huge amount of credit to the Nevada State Athletic Commission. Good for you guys putting your foot down, not letting it roll, and we'll see what happens tomorrow at the meeting. So
exactly. So it's going to be a close meeting. It'll be taking place about 9 a.m. tomorrow Pacific time. So tune in for that. You can probably watch it online, but there's definitely going to be a lot of interest. People want to know what's going to be the bottom line, the result, the punishment that the Nevada State Athletic Commission is going to lay out there for Canelo Alvarez. Hopefully, if he gives in to the taking responsibility mm-hmm. for the substance in his body, the clenbuterol, then he has a possibility of the sentence being cut in half.
Yeah, but there's precedent of that, where yeah. they've said if you work with the committee, and then we'll cut your whatever the minimum is in half.
Yeah,
the minimum for a first time, correct me if I'm wrong, is 1 year, right?
1 year, automatically 1 year. But if you take responsibility and you confess to it, you know,
and they feel like you've complied well enough, then yeah, they can knock it down to even as much as a half.
Yeah, that's up to the commission.
Now
the commission is and the chairman.
My math isn't so great, but if you add 6 months to February, which is when the test ended up. What does that bring us to? About August? August 17th?
It could be August, okay. August, September. I think they would rather wait to September.
Yeah, but I'm saying the suspension would be over in August, right?
Yeah. But
which means that...
That means it could fight in August, but what that means is that they would rather, they say, if it's already okay by August, definitely good for September.
Which is what I'm thinking.
This is then they're looking
for the second biggest fight weekend of the year.
Yeah.
It'll be exactly 1 year to the day on the rematch.
Yeah, so it'll be a good thing. So,
well, not to the day, but to the weekend.
Yeah, but it'll be a good thing to have the that fight in September here in Las Vegas. And I think this fight the fans really wanted to see.
Biggest fight of the year.
Everybody was licking their chops. Cinco de Mayo. He comes out positive. They say, oh, you know what? They're going to let it pass.
Oh,
it's a big fight, big money. Commission going to slide on it. No.
There's going to be no fight in Las Vegas on May 5th.
Well,
it'll be kind of insane.
It'll be the first time in a decade.
I mean, in forever. In Las Vegas. I mean, because there's still going to be the David Haye versus Bellew fight in the morning, which is, you know. And then Ryan Garcia will fight on the 4th, which is Golden Boy. That's so funny.
Yeah, he's a young guy that Holly
knows. He's good. I like Ryan Garcia. He's fun to watch.
He's new. Young coming up.
I wouldn't pay money, but not yet.
Nobody knows who he is yet, really.
Yeah, exactly. But he's Golden Boy's new prospect, and they came on, bring him out in front of that. But Triple G hasn't said it's canceled yet. He still wants it. You can tell. Yeah. But, a week and a half away?
Yeah, no,
it's like a week and a half.
Yeah,
right?
That's not going to happen.
I don't think so either.
Nothing's going to happen with the Cinco de Mayo.
And what are they going to bring a guy up with no training camp?
You know what? Maybe I should get myself ready. And make a comeback, you know.
I don't think it'd be worth it. You heard the money they're going to be offering?
But I'm going to be overweight for him.
Yeah, it might be.
I weigh 175. I'm too heavy for Triple G.
You put a catch weight at 174. You think you can lose a pound?
Yeah, I can lose a pound. But anyway, guys, you know, that's boxing for you. And things happen. But I've seen last-minute substitute with one-day notice.
Yes.
Come up and big upset. There was a guy named, I think, Harold Green back in the 70s, he was there. I think the same day they told him we need a last-minute substitute. Something went wrong. And he jumped in there, and he ended up winning the fight.
Oh, my God, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Some guy named Green. It was not Harold Green, but the last name was Green back in the 70s.
That's too funny.
Back in the East Coast.
Well, you know, there's been a lot of reports about it. They're saying that because it's no longer pay-per-view, because it's no longer Las Vegas, HBO is only offering the K2 promotions like $1 million for them to split between everyone. Which, I mean, if you're Triple G, you made, what, $20 million last fight?
Yeah.
You're looking to make $30 million next fight?
Well, it goes to show that Canelo is the big drawer in boxing.
But then again, Canelo, I mean, yeah, but Canelo, yeah, you're right. I mean, because I want to say that, because Triple G is the best, the most money he can get,
yeah.
But it's still, Canelo could fight anyone. He could fight any of these guys.
Yeah, and, but Canelo, this was a special fight with Triple G and Canelo, especially what happened last year.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, they put up a good fight last year. There's no question about it.
Great fight, both of them. Yeah. I mean, look, you can be a fan of one or the other. You can be think one or the other won, but at the end of the day, you can't say that either one of them didn't fight a great fight, and they both did. I mean, they really did.
Yeah, those trilogies are really special. I remember Joe Frazier with Muhammad Ali, Juan Manuel Marquez with Manny Pacquiao, Eric Morales with Barrera. I mean, you could go back and look at the history of boxing. This trilogy is always, that's why they had one, two, three. Reddick Bowe, Evander Holyfield.
That's why I've been pushing, speaking of heavyweights, I've been pushing saying if Anthony Joshua really wanted the most money, he should push for a trilogy or at least a two fight series with Wilder, even though I understand why. I mean, it's a similar situation with the Canelo Triple G situation where one of them is clearly the bigger draw.
Yeah.
So you want to milk that as long as possible. But I don't know, man. I there's a lot of money in rematches and three matches.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. Speaking of which,
you heard about the offer that got offered to Wilder? They offered him a flat fee, $12.5 million.
$12.5 million. You know,
it's a lot of money, man. Don't get me wrong, but it's a fight that could be worth $100 million.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what, 12%? That's less than what did Parker get offered? A third? Parker got a third.
Yeah.
And he's a bigger draw than Parker.
I think that they're gonna sit down. That's just a talk that they throw out there.
You think it's a fake offer?
Well, I think it's not a fake offer, but they put it out there and see if he accepts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and guys that are out there didn't. You know, boxing is a business now.
Exactly.
$12 million is like crumbs.
Exactly. Look, $12.5 million, to people who don't understand, that's three or four times the most that Deontay Wilder's ever made. And so that's what they'll say. This is four times what we've ever made. But they did the same thing with Canelo Triple G when they said, look, Triple G's never made this much. We're offering him a flat fee of I forget what it was. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you don't do that. If you're a promoter, you know better. Same thing when Mayweather offered Pacquiao a flat fee $40 million. You don't do that. It's not. I don't want to say fake, because you're right. Fake isn't the right word.
Yeah.
But you're not seriously trying to make a deal if you're offering a flat fee for a super fight.
That's why that word negotiation is in the is in the dictionary.
You think we'll see that fight next, though?
I think so.
I don't think so.
You know what? Anthony Joshua may want to fight someone else out there, like Povetkin.
Yeah, I think he might. I think Povetkin. He wants Povetkin. Povetkin's good, too.
Povetkin's good, and that could be a good draw for him. He can make a ton of money with
Povetkin's
that.
Povetkin's dangerous, though, man.
Can you imagine if Povetkin beats
Joshua?
It can happen. And that's why
I wouldn't fight Povetkin or Ortiz. I'd fight Brazil, or I'd fight Gerald Miller.
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, look, not that those guys are bums. They're top 10 heavyweights.
I think these guys, Joshua, can draw big amounts of money. I mean, big fans.
Yeah.
Him just walking into the ring by himself.
Exactly. He gets shadow boxing. People would show up.
Exactly.
By pay-per-view.
He played me in my shadow in that
bag.
Ring.
Well,
he could make big money just hitting the bag.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they want him to fight either Brazil or Miller. Or, I mean, he was talking Povetkin because of the IBF mandatory is Povetkin.
Yeah,
I think that's why.
Povetkin is a mandatory.
It's exactly. So
IBF.
That's why he has to either fight Povetkin or Wilder,
which
both are dangerous, and one makes you more money.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I think I'd rather go with Wilder.
Yeah, well, I think that...
But they want Wilder to fight White, who's also signed to Eddie Hearn. So they're saying, you fight Dillon White, you get more of a... In their mind, you get more of recognition in the UK. And then... We'll get more recognition by fighting Povetkin, and then it's a true...
Yeah, but they're taking the chance.
Exactly.
I don't care whether the guy's an underdog, the opponent you're going to be fighting, but can you imagine you getting a cut or a broken hand? Everything can be postponed. Maybe they should just sit back and wait and do some commercials and maybe get some sponsorships out there.
Look what happened with Ortiz and Wilder in the last fight.
Right.
It almost cost everybody money.
Right. I mean,
everybody.
When Wilder was getting pummeled there in the seventh round, I mean, the fans were, oh, my God, here he goes. Oh, here's the big upset. It almost happened. Can you imagine if Wilder would have lost that fight to Luis Ortiz? What would happen to Joshua?
That money, I mean, look, Joshua's still making money, but he's got no super fight.
Joshua was probably on the edge of his seat saying, no, Wilder, Wilder, hold on. Don't go down. Don't go down.
He could say he's a bigger draw, which he is, but how much money you think's in a Luis Ortiz fight as opposed to a Wilder fight?
Oh,
it's not even close.
Not even close.
So, I mean, look, and he'd have to fight Ortiz next, right? Ortiz would have the other belt.
And over there in Wembley Stadium, you know, they draw 90,000 fans. They had 78,000 with the Joseph Parker fight 3 weeks ago. You can imagine
yes.
the fights the fans that will come out. And can you imagine the pay-per-views on this fight?
I mean,
this fight is a real fight. It's going to bring a lot of attention.
Especially if it's a really good fight and they have a rematch in America, once people really know about it, yeah. I mean, in right here in the Mecca, I mean, that's where pay-per-views and live gate, and that's when you start getting into the $100, $200 million.
Yeah,
I mean, that's,
you guys remember when Conor McGregor fought Floyd Mayweather, the attention around the world was superb.
Yes,
The numbers were staggering. I mean, the millions of dollars that were involved in a mega fight like that.
Dude, go 1 month later, Triple G Canelo. Look at the pay-per-view and the live gate those made. Yeah. Just from tickets alone, what was like $22 million?
Yeah.
And that's a smaller stadium, but because Las Vegas, we can charge so much because there's so much money here for tickets. That's why people say, why fight in Vegas when you could fight somewhere else? That in Cowboy Stadium, it's not even close. It's not even close.
Because the ticket prices. The ticket prices and the casinos, you know, mm-hmm. they pay the big bucks. You buy a ticket. And, you know,
they'll just throw money to the promoters anyway.
Yeah.
Like MGM will just give money and say, just to have it here, we want it here.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they even give the fighters, like I met Mayweather, gotten some automobiles as a gift for the MGM, $1.5 million.
He had a Bugatti. His picture is still on the side of the MGM.
Yeah.
Home of the undefeated Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's got a whole store in there.
Yes, about
one. It makes sense, dude. There's a reason why he fights there.
Yeah, they put stuff in there of his, a lot of memorabilia.
Yeah, exactly. Is it not his store? It seems like it is.
No, it looks like
it's just a normal fight store, but it's got a lot of his stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Makes sense.
Yeah, why not? You got a good marketing team behind it. You know, branding his name.
Exactly. I got a money team shirt. Yeah. I like it. Yeah. Yeah. It's got an American flag on it.
Yeah, I got a poor t-shirt.
You probably
You got the money shirt. I got the poor t-shirt.
Money shirt, yeah.
But anyway, guys, you know, this is amazing. You know, we're talking about a lot of these fighters. Mikey Garcia just gave up his...
He just gave up his 140-pound belt with, I think, WBO. I can't remember.
The thing is that when you give up a belt, the title stays vacant, then you got to wonder, what's he thinking? Is he going to go up to 147, mm-hmm. which most likely that's where... Cause
that's where he wants to end up eventually, he says.
Yeah, that's a hotbed of boxers, top names, that you got over half a dozen of top-notch welterweights in the world. And Mikey's going after the big bucks now. He's already a four-time.
Makes sense. Or is he dropping down one back to lightweight where he lived?
But we're talking about giving up belts. And, you know, Lomachenko, you know, he's a 130-pound champ. If you're going to look at the go up, he's another guy that.
Oh, yeah.
If let's say he skips a 135-pound weight class and goes to 140 because being that. Mikey Garcia giving up the
140,
the junior welterweight title at 140. Lomachenko said, "Well, let me go into that."
Think he'll bump up 10 pounds? That's a lot of pounds.
Well, some guys.
Although I think he could beat almost anyone at 140 right now, except for Mikey Garcia.
Yeah, and Mikey
if
Garcia.
If they fought, what pound do you think it'd be at?
140.
140.
Yeah, but
Terrence Crawford's still the champion.
But Mikey Garcia just gave up the 140. But sometimes, you know, they say they gave up the belt. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're giving up. That division.
No.
It may be some conflict with
they want to move around.
With the sanctioning body that day. Say, you know what? You want me to fight a mandatory number one contender.
Exactly.
And I don't want to fight that guy.
There's more money over there.
There's more money over there. You know what? Hey, take your belt.
Take your belt back.
So
yeah.
Relinquish the.
Maybe you just give it away because you don't want to fight Triple G 4 years ago. Maybe.
You never know.
But you never know. There's a lot of reasons people vacate a belt.
But this is a business these days. You know, back in the old days, I think with the sanctioning bodies and whatnot, there was only one. At first, it was only the NBA.
NBA.
It was called the National Boxing Association. And that was the one who back in the 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
And then came the WBA, the first organized sanctioning body, then the WBC.
I didn't know it was called the NBA in the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
That's interesting.
It was a national boxing.
No, I know.
Basketball
I know. I was going to say.
Yeah, but that's like the NBA today basketball. But it was the NBA, National Boxing Association. Yeah. And, of course, you know, they have all these other Mickey Mouse sanctioning bodies popping up all over the place. WBU, IBO. Yeah.
I never heard
and
of that.
IBO. And come on, please, man. You know?
IBO's getting some, that at least gets headlines, but it's not one of the other four.
Yeah, no, it's going to take a while.
I mean, look, think about back when, like, what, the last one, WBO wasn't, or which one was the last one? WBC?
WBO.
WBO wasn't really as.
WBC is recognized.
Been around forever, right?
They've been around. Yeah, but
I'm saying WBO at one time was kind of just a
but
Mickey Mouse
actually it was WBA first. Then WBO came together. And you know, most of these sanctioning bodies, they get along with each other, they talk with each other. I know WBC, I was just with them in Spain this past week. I just got back last night.
Tell us about your trip.
It was a great trip. I was able to, I had the honor of giving a seminar to the judges and referees. We had videotapes and we were going over different scenarios. We had an actual boxing ring. They had a show the night before, Saturday night, in Madrid, in Spain. So then we used that same facility at the hotel where I was staying at. It was a great place to give a seminar. I was able to utilize the boxing ring, mm-hmm. and I brought in the referees that were there, about 30 officials in all. So I think it was about 20 referees. I gave them all an opportunity to get in the ring with me. I was dressed in my WBC referee uniform.
You had your belt on?
I brought in, I had two fighters, and we demonstrated guns of different scenarios, mm-hmm. you know, headbutt, low blows. I would call these referees in the ring, and I would tell these fighters what we're going to do without the referee having any knowledge of what's going to happen when I call time in. But they went in there, went through the whole procedure, checked the mouthpiece, trunks, gloves, everything, brought them together, and then the bell, ding, and the fighters come out, and the referee just worked like he'd normally work in a regular fight. You don't know what's going to happen, what's going to occur, and boom, the fighter went down. He's on the canvas. The fighter went after him, hit him while he's on the canvas. And I almost see the reaction of the referee. You know, what action he's going to take doing that.
And the old Roy Jones Jr.
Is he going to call time? Is he going to count? Is he going to, you know, and went through the whole thing. Did it, made some mistakes. I said, hold, it's time. Stop right there. This is wrong. Let me show you how it was done. Then I would demonstrate. And then I said, you got it? Okay, now you do it. And they did it. They did it correctly the second time around. I said, good. Get good rounds of applause from everybody. He steps out the ring.
Oh, exciting.
I tell these fighters that we're going to do this. And call up another referee. The same thing went out. We did like a three-hour on-hands training with the referees. It was fabulous.
That's
we loved it.
Awesome. I got to say, well, so you actually were able to do it within a boxing ring?
Within a boxing ring.
Able to use your ring generalship to
yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. I'll tell you what, one thing I think we can all agree on, fight fans alike and everyone, is the better... The more there's better judges and better referees, even 1% better, the better the sport we have. So that's good news.
Exactly.
I'm glad to hear that WBC is doing that. Are there any big so this was all Spanish? Like people from Spain?
Yeah, I did it in Spanish. Yeah, I did it all in Spanish.
But I'm saying these referees and judges were from Spain?
They're from Spain, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Do we have any big fights coming up in Spain?
Nothing.
You know?
No, nothing big.
Cool.
But we're getting them ready.
Yeah, well, that's good, though. Hey, I mean, that's just another area.
I mean, they had some fights the night before. At the Dome Hotel where I was staying at. And the hotel was beautiful. You know,
yeah.
I mean, in the lobby of the hotel, they had the owner of the hotel owns, he's a collector of old cars. They had a beautiful 1938 Rolls Royce in the lobby. As you walk into the hotel, big Rolls Royce is
1938.
Then you walk around the side, had all kinds of cars about the whole lobby of the hotel. It was beautiful. And they had the fights there. And, it was an amazing place to be. The food.
You think it's a cool venue? Like, as far as when you think boxing exploding in different markets, you see what it's doing in the Asian markets right now, in Japan and stuff like that. You see, obviously, how big it is in the UK.
Yeah.
You think Spain is ready to explode as far as boxing fans go?
They were at one time. They were doing pretty good. They had four world champions in the history of the sport of Spain.
Yeah.
And remember, Evangelista.
Mm-hmm.
He was one that fought Muhammad Ali. I went 15 rounds with Muhammad Ali, and I was able to meet him the night of the boxing event.
Cool,
the night it was Friday, Saturday night there in Spain, and there was a couple other fighters, and it was really a nice experience.
Do you think that how well boxing does in a certain market is tied directly to how many good fighters there are from that region at that time?
Well, you know, like I said before, Great Britain, go back 25 years, you only had maybe Henry Cooper, who fought Muhammad Ali.
Lennox Lewis, but no one...
And then after that guy, it was Lennox Lewis, 25 years later. So it was not a hotbed of boxing.
Not at all.
But throughout the years, other fighters started developing in the welterweight, middleweight.
And now they're one of the biggest markets in boxing, by far. It's huge.
Yeah, Great Britain is great. Then you got Asia, especially Japan. And they really have
Japan's
a lot of...
Japan's huge right now. Thailand's huge right now.
Thailand,
they had Rungvisai.
Rungvisai.
He went and met the prime minister after both the last two fights. I mean, he's a god there now.
Yes, about.
It's pretty. I mean, really, though, considering when he was, I mean, remember, he was a garbage man.
Yeah.
He tells the story. He was eating food out of the garbage. Now he's meeting the prime minister. I mean, he walks through the streets, and you'd think he was Manny Pacquiao in the Philippines.
Yeah, Manny Pacquiao in the Philippines. He had nothing back in the day. He was out there selling gum and doing whatever in the streets. And and look what he did. But boxing is always...
But I think, yeah, I mean, to my point, I think if you look at the Philippines now and, like, how many boxing fans there are as opposed to 5, 10 years ago, I think it's just, I think the more champions you have from your area, the bigger the sport is.
Well, Manny Pacquiao is a fighter that has brought a lot of fans into the sport of boxing.
Mm-hmm.
And you will know that back in the day, Flash Lorde was one of the first champions out of the Philippines back in the 50s and 60s. And, you know, there's a bunch of decent fighters come out of the Philippines. But, you know, Manny Pacquiao, of course, was the outstanding one of all.
Yeah. Was he eight weight classes?
I think he was nine, if I'm not mistaken.
That's so insane. Either way, it's a record.
I mean, when he won his first championship here in Las Vegas at 118 pounds,
so small.
I was the referee in that
and
fight.
And then his highest one was Margarito at 154.
154.
That's insane.
I mean, the guy.
There's a reason that's never
been done. He fluctuated a couple of times from 154 to 147, but he never went back below that. And there was some talk about him wanting to fight Lomachenko at 135.
Yeah.
I said, come on.
There's still talk about that. I mean, he says if he beats Matisse, that's what he wants next.
Yeah. And Matisse is going to be a tough fight
for
him.
Yeah, Matisse, I mean, that dude's not a joke. And he's a good fighter.
That fight is coming up real soon now in Malaysia. It's going to be a great fight.
Who's going to train Manny for that fight?
I don't know. Maybe I will.
Should.
I teach him a little hook. I'll teach him. You the right one will get you, the left one will. You know, I still got a little spark of the old Flash.
I know. Maybe you should, because I don't know who else is going to do it. Oh, my God. Yeah, Freddie Roach put out that whole statement saying, you know, we've had a great career together. I wish he would have called me. And then Manny Pacquiao puts out a statement saying, I don't know who my trainer is yet. It still might be Freddie.
Yeah. Hey, my producer back there. Charlie, anybody, any questions for anybody out there? Hey, you guys, greetings. Ask some questions, guys.
Greetings back to you guys,
but ask us some questions. You know, John Zimmer here, he's thinking of making a comeback at the light heavyweight division. You know, John,
that's pretty much my weight right now.
John actually, he's a stand-up comedian. But, you know, we love talking about the fight game, but you guys have any questions, please ask them, because this is your chance to shine.
We love it, man.
Ask us the right questions.
Hey, let me say something. One thing, a guy that we've had on the show a few times, Jesse Vargas, one of my favorite guests we have on here, super well-spoken, knows the fight game, knows it well.
Yes.
Not great at making predictions, as we know, but it's that's why it's fun. I got he has a fight this weekend against Adrian Broner, and that's going to be a good fight, man. It's something a lot of people aren't talking about, but that's going to be a very good fight. You got a four-time world champion in Adrian Broner versus a two-time world champion in Jesse Vargas. These guys have both had awesome careers.
Yeah, but, you know, they both lost to top-notch fighters.
That's what's crazy.
You know, by Jesse Vargas losing to Timothy Bradley and to Manny Pacquiao.
One's an all-timer. Yeah. I mean, really, like a genuine all-timer. Yeah. The other one's a top-notch class.
And Broner lost to what?
He's Maidana, Sean Porter, and most recently, Mikey Garcia. The best in their divisions.
Right.
I mean, these guys are all greats, but they've dominated everyone below that certain level.
Yeah,
so every one of them can dominate everyone here to here, but once they get to here, they don't make it. So now you got two, they got to go against each other.
Yeah, but I think Jesse Vargas is the one that can really, I think he can go
transcend to that next level?
I think
so. Well, these guys are both like dark horses in the welterweight division, because like Joe was saying earlier, we got, I mean, the half dozen or so at the top of the welterweight division are all guys that can make a case for pound for pound.
I mean, you look at Sean Porter. I mean, Sean Porter, you mentioned his name to these fighters, they say, oh, no.
Yeah, they don't want that problem.
But you know what? But Sean Porter's not the champion right now.
No, because he lost to Keith Thurman, who's got two belts. He's a unified champ.
Actually, he lost first to Brooks.
You're right. He did lose to Kell Brook.
Kell
Brook's another guy who's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Errol. Keith Thurman's like holding the whole division hostage. And now you got Terrence Crawford up there who could be number one pound for pound.
Hey, you fans out there, you know, there's no teleprompters, I was reading or nothing. We're trying to keep talking. We shoot from the hip. Now, we know that in boxing, crazy things can happen. We're just hoping that nothing happens to the heavyweight division. That is the glamour division of all time.
Always has been, man.
Boxing, it says, who's the heavyweight champion? He's like the leader in boxing of any weight division.
It was written that when Jim Jeffries won it, it was considered, and you know, even go back even further than that to John O'Sullivan. It was known as the Emperor of Masculinity. Yeah. That's what you would call the heavyweight champion of the world.
We have a question. One of the fans here. What's the question, my friend?
Johnny Martinez wants to know how you came up with Fair but Firm.
How did I come up with Fair but Firm? Well, guys. Johnny Martinez. Johnny, mira, I came out with an interview. Somebody said, Joe, what does it take to be a good referee? And I said, you know, guys, being a good referee, I think about being fair with the fighters. By the same token, you have to be firm with them to take control. As I watched the interview later on, I said, you know, fair but firm. I said, I kind of put that together. I said, I think I'm going to use that. I mean, those words have been out there forever from the beginning of time, but I was able to put those three, fair but firm. I'm fair, but I'm firm. I said, it worked, and I got it registered, and it's working. So I'm hoping that everybody there in life can say the same thing. I'm fair, but I'm firm. In other words, you got to be nice to everybody out there, but don't let nobody walk over you. You got to be firm, too, but be lovable, caring, like I am with all my fans out there. Thank you for the question, Mr. Martinez.
When you say it, in your referee voice, do you naturally want to say touch them up afterwards?
Yeah. I'm fair, but I'm firm, guys. Touch them up.
I know. I always hear that in my head. When you say fair, but I'm firm, I'm always like, I expect you to say touch them up.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes I do it in my sleep.
No, I bet. I bet. That's too funny, man. But, hey, you know what else we got this weekend? We got Hugo Centeno, who's someone we have never talked about, but yeah. I mean on the show.
Yeah.
But he's a good fighter. He's a KO monster too. Uh-huh. Going up against the great Jermall Charlo.
Yeah, that's gonna be a great fight.
I'm excited for that. That'll be this weekend, and the Charlo brothers are, I mean, they're to be reckoned with,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, you know, and you know what thing about the Charlo brothers, you guys out there that don't know who these guys, two brothers, they happen to be twins. And they both can fight pretty much alike.
Yeah, they do. One fight's one division ahead of the other one.
Yeah.
But speaking of which, Jermall Charlo, he's on lower division. Looks like he's going to fight Jared Hurd next, probably.
Jared Hurd just fought a great fight the other day.
Against Lara.
Against
Arislandi Lara.
Arislandi, a Cuban fighter.
Yeah.
And was probably, as of right now, fight of the year.
Oh, my God, yes. I mean, those were the number one and two guys up there. I mean, Lara's still probably third behind Charlo.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys are, and Lara's been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, but, you know, I think Lara, being that he was, he's already...
36 or something?
He, yeah, 36 years of age, but he's defended his title for the seventh time.
Yeah.
And he gave Hurd a shot at his title. I think he's such a great fight. I think he's deserving of getting a rematch.
Oh, my God.
Because of the great fight that he put up. He didn't get knocked
out. I mean, he deserves big dollars. He's fought a great career his whole time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He deserves one big money fight, but... I mean, I don't know, man.
He got to take advantage of it, but he fought a great fight with a knockdown in the 12th round. That difference of that 2-point,
yes,
10-8 round.
Exactly.
Won the fight. That caused him to lose the fight.
Cost him his championship.
Yeah.
If you guys haven't seen that fight, go watch it when we're done here.
Yeah,
we'll finish the show, but then go watch it when we're done here because it's really, really good. Yeah, it's on YouTube, I think. So.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, make sure you check it out.
Yeah.
I mean, man, boxing has been great. The biggest fight of the year was canceled. We all know that. It's probably going to come back in September. Hopefully, fingers crossed. But outside of that, we've had some awesome, awesome fights this year.
Exactly.
I mean, we've been geared up, which is exactly what we've been hoping for.
Yeah, well, that was going to happen. Cinco de Mayo here in Las Vegas. No boxing in Vegas at all. I don't know.
It's weird. I don't know what I'm going to do.
You want to lace them up? You and I go out there, and we can show them what we got?
I mean, I don't know. We could probably sell out T-Mobile.
Maybe. Maybe not too big, but let's do it at the MGM. We can sell out the MGM.
TM we can do, yeah. No problem.
Hey, guys, I still got a little spark of the old Flash.
He goes into it.
If the right one don't get you, the left one will. Hey, guys, listen, it was great talking to you guys today. We had a good time with over the weekend. I mean, I had a fantastic time in Spain giving the seminar to the officials over there. Take my hat off to the Spaniards out there. They gave me great treatment. Great interviews with the media out there. It was just out of this world. And the referees, the judges, commissioners, everybody out there was fabulous. Los saludos a todos. Los quiero mucho. Que Dios los bendiga. Remember, guys, I'm fair, but I'm firm. Touch them up.